Join Adel Kazilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
And it is a wonderful good morning to all our listeners. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. We've come together, albeit virtually, and everybody is wearing jackets. It looks like winter has finally arrived in South Africa, sadly, and everybody's hoping that it will go away very, very soon. Good morning, Feige.
Good morning, Adel. I think Johannesburg's beating Belito and Cape Town today.
It is. Like, I had a lot of complaints coming out of Joburg this morning.
I'm sitting here like literally all huddled up in my big puffy jacket. You guys look like maybe a little bit of a sweatshirt.
No.
Right. Online with us is Mary-Ann Shearer, well known to many, many people, been on our podcast and on our show many, many times. She's a wellness author, professional motivational speaker, and a media personality. And she talks all about just staying healthy. And we were having a whole conversation just before we got online, and we decided, hey, why not start with it? And, you know, we keep on promoting on this show about eating healthy. Well, we're going to talk about what eating healthy means, maybe ask Mary-Ann to share some of her recipes and just motivate you, particularly when it comes to winter. You know, in winter, we just kind of like go to the comfort foods, and sadly, they're not very nutritional. Most times it's just those bags of chips and chocolates and hot chocolates and waffles and anything that will make us feel more comforted. Let's try and navigate the winter now and this space and time in a more healthy way. So good morning, Mary-Ann, and welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. And we are freezing down here.
Are you? I'm telling you, we're not freezing.
It's like, we're not freezing actually, because we don't go that low, but it's like 14 and 19 today, so it's just like in that range. It doesn't get hot in the middle of the day, but hey, it's still warmer than Joburg, I'm sure.
It sure is. Belito, 17 and 25 today. I'm not complaining. It's cloudy, but I'm not complaining.
Our faces in it.
Okay, so we started a conversation offline. I'm going to bring it online. We were talking about just how we eat, you know, in different places. I was mentioning that from a Jewish perspective, it's pretty hard to stay out of Joburg because we don't have all the kosher facilities, you know, or the ability to get the meat, the milk, the bread, the et cetera, et cetera. And one needs to modify one's lifestyle. But of course, Mary-Ann, you advocate that lifestyle irrespective of whether you live in Joburg or not. So
absolutely. And I have a couple of good rabbis. Actually, there's several that I've met over the years who've said to me, God really intended for us to be plant-based, to be completely vegan. I hate the V word because it almost sounds like a cult or a religion, but whole food plant-based is how we should be. And Dr. Colin Campbell talks about it in his book, Whole. He's the top nutritional biochemist in the world. He says, eat plants, drink water, and then your life won't be complicated when it gets to your health. But the one year we went to the Limud conference, and the one rabbi, I forget his last name, his first name's David, he said, in his opinion, he felt that it's really easy to live a kosher lifestyle if you're plant-based. And he said he thinks that God made the kosher rules so complicated so that everybody would say, we don't want to do that. We just want to be plant-based. I kind of liked that. I thought it's actually simple, and we tend to make our lives complicated by wanting to push the boundaries and go in directions, because all the research shows that, you know, I'm sitting here with Dr. Colin Campbell's book, who was raised on a dairy farm, and the China study. It's the most incredible study ever done. It was a huge study, millions of people over a 30-year period. They had 365 helpers just to collect the data from people all over the rural China. And at the end of it, they said man was designed for a plant-based diet. That's basically what it is. And then I remember years ago hearing a quote from somebody said, the scientists have been climbing this mountain of knowledge for years and years and years and years and years. And invariably when they get to the top, they find the theologians have been sitting there and saying, but we've known about this stuff since the beginning of time. And if we look at the beginning, I mean, Adam and Eve, They lived on.
They couldn't even get an apple right. Hey, they bit into the apple.
It wasn't an apple. It was a fruit. We don't know which fruit. It was pretty much a bad fruit, but whatever it was, you know, it's just it's an interesting thing, because they're finding that people that you look at the people that are the longest living, healthiest people in the world. And National Geographic did the study many years back, probably 20 years back, and Dan Buettner headed the research. And they found the longest living communities all followed a whole food plant-based diet. Like in Sardinia and Italy, there was like occasionally they'd have goat's milk feta, just occasionally, like maybe once a month or once a week. And in Okinawa in Japan, they would eat one sardine a week flaked into a rice dish and share it amongst 12 people.
Wow.
That's not a tiny canned sardine. It's a sort of bigger, fresh sardine. And then, you know, they found in Loma Linda in Southern California, where the Seventh-day Adventist community, who basically teach, part of their teaching is that you need to eat a plant-based diet. Not that they all do, but it's part of their teaching. So they're the longest living, healthiest community, with the most people over the ages of 100 in great condition. And they look at Icaria in Greece and in Costa Rica. And I mean, they're interviewing like a 104-year-old guy who's riding his scooter around, and then he gets to his house and he chops wood. And then while Dan Buettner's interviewing him, he said, well, let's arm wrestle and see who's stronger. And Dan Buettner at the time was 42, and here's this guy who was like 104. The elderly guy just pushes his arm down, and you can see that Dan Buettner's really pushing. It's not just because this guy can chop his own wood. I don't think Dan Buettner ever picked up an axe in his life. So if you look at that, you know, people will always argue about, but this says this, and so-and-so says this, and what about the carnivore diet, and what about the ketogenic diet? Clear, the science shows that man's designed for a plant-based diet, because the biggest nutritional study ever done, involving millions of people, literally, and over an extended period of time, and if we look at the longest living, healthiest communities, it all points towards a whole food plant-based diet. Exactly what Colin Campbell says. Eat plants, drink water, but we want to again make it complicated. And what about the coffee and the tea and the hot chocolate? And it's just, for most people, it sounds boring. And so it shouldn't be boring. I mean, eating well is delicious.
We're going to unpack that. So if you want to run away now, probably this is the time too, because we're just going to eat plants, drink water. But we're going to unpack that a little bit more. And I encourage you to listen and stay, even if you move the dial, you move the compass in the right direction. You'll be moving forward. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. And if you'd like to ask a question or you want to make a comment, 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, you can find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. That's Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're talking to Mary Ann Shearer, and we're talking about our food, our diet, what we can do, particularly now in the winter months, to ensure that we actually stay on a healthy line. So just before, you said eat plants, drink water, that's it, move on. You know, it sounds pretty simple. I'm going to play devil's advocate for the majority of the show, but surely you're not getting everything you need just from eating plants.
Strangely enough, you are. I mean, I'm going to read something from the top nutritional biochemist, Dr. Colin Campbell. He says, you might be surprised to know that disease that interests you has much in common with other diseases of affluence, especially when it comes to nutrition. There's no such thing as a special diet for cancer and a different one for heart disease. The evidence now amassed from researchers around the world shows that the same diet that is good for the prevention of cancer is also good for the prevention of heart disease, as well as obesity, diabetes, cataracts, macular degeneration, Alzheimer's, cognitive dysfunction, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, and other diseases. And he's the one that says eat plants. It's very easy to get all your nutrients. In fact, they found in China that the people that ate the mainly plant-based diet had three times the levels of iron in their bloodstream as the average American who eats enormous amounts of meat. And they were looking at the rural Chinese are very plant-based. Only in the northern regions where it's very cold and there's a shortage of food in winter might they have goat's milk, for example. And that's what it was like when they did the study. Things have changed a lot in China since, so they can never do a study like this because these were all people from the same genetic pool. There were people that ate meat. Most people didn't. But everything that we think about, you know, we take B12. Everyone's like, you can't get B12 from eating plants. Well, the funny thing is that the research shows, there was a study done several years back, probably about 20 years back, I remember reading, was done in Australia and published in a recognized medical journal that showed that 40% of meat eaters, chicken eaters, fish eaters, vegetarians who ate cheese and eggs, and vegans suffered from a B12 deficiency. So clearly it had nothing to do with their diet and everything to do with their gut. And what we do know is if you don't secrete enough hydrochloric acid because you're chronically stressed or you're just eating junk all the time and your body's out of balance, you can't actually, you don't produce an intrinsic factor, and that's what helps you actually utilize and absorb and process vitamin B12. So it actually has nothing to do with your diet per se. It has everything to do with the condition of your gut. So when they've done, as I say, when they've done these studies, they find that that's what it's got to do with. And the things that destroy B12 is alcohol. I mean, we used to spray it on our hands during COVID, remember that, to sterilize our hands, and then we pour it down our throats to sterilize our gut. And you're going to sterilize your gut, you're going to end up with a B12 deficiency. And the interesting thing is that the vitamin B deficiencies symptoms are very similar to Parkinson's disease. If you read the two, it sounds like the same disease. And we know that there's a big factor connecting Parkinson's disease to alcohol consumption. And alcohol destroys your friendly bacteria. So they're beginning to think that this cognitive decline that we're getting on every level, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, senile dementia, it's very much to do with the state of the gut. Very much to do with the state of the gut and essential fatty acids. Go take omega-3 fatty acids. Your best source of it is from plants like flax seeds and hemp seeds, for example. But you get it in tiny amounts in avocados and nuts and seeds. You need to eat these natural fats. But what happens is we don't eat those natural fats, and then we eat processed heated fats. And then you look at the deficiencies of omega-3s, which most people suffer from: dry skin, acne, allergies, hay fever. And you just start taking in natural essential fatty acids from a plant source, and all of that goes away. So let's look at protein. There's more protein in an almond and pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, usable protein, than in a steak. You're getting about the same 20 to 30 grams per 100 grams in each of them, but you can eat the pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and almonds raw. Very few people will eat meat raw because it's full of parasites. You've got to kill the parasites, and you've got to cook it to try and help break down the fiber, the muscle that in it. There's no fiber in it. There's no fiber in it whatsoever. But if you look at the studies, it shows you that the high meat eating communities like the Inuit or the Eskimos, Maasai warriors and the Hadzas, if you look at those three communities, their life expectancy is 42 to 45 years. And you look at the blue zones, they've got the most healthy people over the age of 100, some of them living up to 104 and 105 years old. So it suits the food industry to tell us that we mustn't eat plant-based. But you also get people that eat plant-based badly. Everybody's got a friend who was a vegetarian who got sick. And you look at what they're eating.
I think that's why we need to speak about it, because I think that today people who are vegan, vegetarian, are still eating. It's the same thing as people who are gluten-free. You know, you say, I'm gluten-free, and then you go into the shop and you buy all these wonderful gluten-free products, but you're eating junk. And it's something that is, such an anomaly that, you know, you can't eat gluten, but what are you eating? And you look at the box and you still can't read the ingredients.
And it's processed, it's refined, it's got 25 ingredients in it. Or you're living on just a lazy cook and people think eat plants, drink water is boring. But seriously, I know people who just live on pasta they'll have like toast for breakfast with a cup of coffee, and they'll have pasta for lunch and pasta for supper. You can't live like that.
I think the difficult thing is like it's a whole mind change. We're not used to eating that many vegetables. We're not used to eating that many legumes. We're not used to, you know, like I was just away in Israel, and for breakfast you're eating chickpeas and beetroot and carrot and carrot salad and cooked cauliflower with tahina sauce on top. And like in my head, I come home and I look at my fridge and I say, what do I have to eat for breakfast? Okay, I'll just make myself an egg. Like, it's a completely different way of life. Like, I know, Mary Ann, like, I think that it's amazing that you live that way and this is your whole way of life. You know, yeah. I feel like for us people who don't necessarily live like that, it's a whole mind switch and it's something that we really have to be educated on.
Yeah, and it's a slow process as well. You can't just say to your family, okay, that's it. We want to be healthy. We're going to follow the China study. We're going to all just eat plants and drink water. And your family are going to look at you. Your husband's probably not going to come home. He might just run off with a chef down the road. I mean, it's just like...
Go buy himself a hamburger and chips.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to take it slowly. And that's why I always say to people, is just start off by starting every single meal that you have with any raw fruit or vegetables. You could have carrot sticks and hummus. You can have a smoothie, you could have an apple, you could have a banana, you could make a gourmet dish using vegetables. But honestly, if you just took a couple of carrots and ate them before your burger, it's a good start with your kids. Just like eat more fruit and vegetables for the main reason is just to help prevent cancer. The rates of cancer have gone up 79% since 2009 in people under 50 years. And I'm seeing 18-year-olds that have been put into palliative care and told there's nothing we can do for you. And I get
so besides for the nutrients, would that be because there's a lack of fiber?
Well, it's a whole lot. It's the antioxidants, which destroy free radicals. Free radicals are what damage cells. Damage cells multiply. That's what cancer is. So you're going to destroy the free radicals. So one thing is you're going to stop the formation of cancer. Then it's alkaline forming, which stops the growth of cancer. And then you've got the fiber to move things more efficiently through the gut, because the most common form of cancer today is colorectal cancer. And the most common cancer that's going to kill men is prostate, and the most common with women is breast cancer. So we look at that, and the rates have gone up frighteningly in younger people. That's scary. And everybody will blame all kinds of things, but what has changed is our diets. And I don't know how old you girls are, but I've been around a long time. I was born in the 1950s. So I grew up, you know, my mom came home one day with a box of tomatoes and said, hey, kids, I got a box of tomatoes from somebody, and plop, pop, propped it in the kitchen. Well, we promptly took the box, went and sat on the back steps outside the back door and ate the tomatoes like apples. I had never seen a kid do that other than my grandkid, well, my kids, because they were involved in that. But we weren't vegan as kids. I mean, I loved a braai and I ate lamb chops and I ate bread and I ate pasta. But my mom gave us real food. We didn't eat any processed. We were never allowed to eat junk food ever. It was just, hadn't eaten a hamburger my entire life. Not because I was vegan, because we weren't. But my mother said, you're going to eat meat, you eat real meat, not something that's minced and you don't know what they've put in there. She wasn't that healthy. She smoked and drank until she was 60. But she lived to 91 and never had any medication. Her mind still worked. She was frail on her legs, but it was probably from partying too much when she was younger. But at the end of the day, it's changed so dramatically. Our diets have changed as dramatically as our form of communication has. You know, we used to have that old phone that you had to literally tap. It was a party line and everybody would share the line in the community, and then went to dialing and then it went to push button, you know, and then cell phones came in the size of bricks. And now we're getting to a point where we can walk around and talk on our phones wherever we are, anywhere in the world, and communicate with people. It used to cost an arm and a leg to phone somebody in America. Now I can just dial them on WhatsApp. Yeah. So it's that dramatic. So it's gone from eating whole foods. You know, we'd have chops and chicken and meat, but people ate a lot of fruit and vegetables. It was just part of what we did. To eating, kids coming home and their mothers don't cook anymore. I had a mother many years ago, I remember about 15 years ago, I'd done a talk somewhere. This mother came up to me and she said, I've got a problem. I don't cook. I said, what do you mean I don't cook? She says, I haven't got a clue how to cook. So I said, well, what do you eat? She says, we eat at Nando 6 nights a week. And one day a week, we go to my mother-in-law and she makes us a proper cooked meal. And I said, do you have any children? She said, yes, I have 4. And I'm like, that's what it's. I had a guy come up to me and say, he doesn't eat. He just lives on Red Bull. He has 30 Red Bulls a day. And he was like, eyes were darting all over the place. And he doesn't know, he can't sleep at night. He doesn't sound, I said, we've lost your mind. But you can't just tell somebody to stop. You can't, because it's just too radical. So you've got to come in with gentleness, and it's like, okay, eat some raw fruit or vegetables, aim for a side plate, which is about the size of your hand flat. If you took your portion, it would be your hand flat on a plate. So a little child would be just a little bit of raw stuff. And it could be a carrot juice or a carrot dipped in avocado. And it's one of the things that's in season now in winter is avocados. Eat them galore. They will not raise your cholesterol. They actually help to lower it. They bring in essential fatty acids. They're full of fiber. And they're darn delicious. Just squeeze some lemon juice, a little bit of garlic and herb salt, and mash it and put it on the table with some carrot sticks or cucumber slices and say to your family, supper's not ready yet. I thought you might be hungry. You don't try and tell them.
Would you advocate if somebody is looking and listening and saying, I can't do plants and water, okay? I can't get there. No. What would you say to somebody who wants to eat some protein, be it meat or chicken or fish, but it's just clean meat, meat or fish or chicken?
You don't have to go radical.
Stuff and it's not the processed stuff.
You don't have to go radical vegan at all. My part journey in life was never, I want to be a vegan because I'm concerned about the animals. It was always for me was looking for my health. And I had hormonal issues that only cleared up when I stopped eating animal protein. So I didn't have a choice. But in fact, the studies show that you shouldn't consume, if you're trying to avoid cancer, you shouldn't consume more than 5 to 10% of your daily calorie intake from an animal source. So that works out to about the size of like half an egg, basically. You know, nobody's going to eat half an egg today and keep the other egg for tomorrow. It's kind of weird. So they recommend that it's the size of the palm of your hand, not more than every second day of the week. And when you're starting out, don't like start off with that. Say, okay, I'm eating animal protein 3 times a week. I'm having an egg for breakfast. I'm having tuna salad for lunch and chicken for supper. Then go to twice a day, not bigger than the size of the palm of your hand. Then once a day, not bigger than the size of the palm of your hand. And when you're doing once a day, you can go to every second day and then you'll be fine. So you'll have, and don't just eat any chicken, fish and meat and stuff. Go for the way God made it in the beginning. Organic. Free range is not enough. Free range just means they're not in a cage. Doesn't mean they're not being injected with or be given antibiotics, because antibiotics make animals grow very fast. And if you're a businessman in farming, which most farmers are, they need to make money. They've got things to pay for and stuff to do. So if you've got a cow that you can get fully grown, let's say in 6 months as opposed to 3 years, well, and you just have to give them antibiotics, which also kills any bacteria and any, you know, things, any bad things that might happen to the cow, you're gonna give them that. And you're going to feed them food that's going to make them grow as fast as possible. And that food is usually highly processed. But if you've got a cow that's outside grazing grass the way God intended it to graze the grass and roam around and see the sunshine, that's an organic cow, okay? And then when you have organic meat, that's what you're having. There's no chemicals there. There are 11 different hormones, according to Dr. Walter Veit. In his book, Food and Nutrition, he actually lists 11 different hormones that are given to cattle to make them grow faster. And so avoid that, because that's not the way God intended us to eat at all. At least go for the food in its original form. And yes, it's going to cost more, which means you're going to eat less, which is the goal. So eating animal protein every second day, not bigger than the size of your palm. If your palm of your hand is really thick and very big, you can eat a bigger piece. If it's a small, thin, delicate hand, then you're going to eat less. That's your size. Your body size tells you how much to eat. You know, it's like a fistful, handfuls. We want to weigh and measure our food, and it's like such a bizarre thing to do. You know, you find an animal that weighs and measures its food. They just eat and then stop.
Marianne, can you give us ideas of other proteins to add then to a meal? Because like I know everyone goes, I'm different. Like I feel if I don't eat the proteins, I'm not full. So my breakfast has to include a lot of protein and I barely have the carbs. For lunch also, it has to have like tuna or chicken and salad. Supper has to be the same thing. Otherwise, I don't get full. Other people say, how do you not eat bread and how do you not eat all the carbs to make yourself full? I mean, we're told that as women especially, or men, women, do have to have a lot of protein.
You need 1 gram of protein for every 2 kilograms of body weight. That's studies going back many years. Some people say 1 gram for every kilogram. So somebody, let's say you weigh 60 kilograms, somewhere between 30 and 60 grams. I can get that just by making a smoothie with almonds in it and maybe a teaspoon of pea protein. That's how easy it is to get enough protein. So we eat way more than what we need. And satiety, feeling full and feeling comfortable, comes from your body getting a message to say it's got enough nutrition. So if you put a lot of protein in there, your body's going to say you've had enough, basically, so you feel quite full. But you get protein from any source. As I said, you can make a smoothie, for example, with nuts and seeds and pea protein, and that's one of the things you can do. But you could have something with legumes in it. Chickpeas are unbelievably nutritious. So are any beans, for that matter. And you could have, you were talking about that meal you had in Israel with, you know, hummus. And hummus is very high because it's got sesame seed paste in it, which has also got about 20 to 30% protein in it. And then you've got the chickpeas in it. It's a fantastic thing. I think we should eat the way the Israelis eat, actually. They're the most plant-friendly. They don't eat the biggest amount. I know people eat meat there, but they're not eating the hugest amount. And everybody that says they go there, they say it's the easiest place for a vegan or a vegetarian to eat. They've got it right. And you don't have to have a sweet smoothie. Some people crave sweet things, go for the smoothie. If you're craving savory things, then go for a savory breakfast. You know, okay, have some grilled mushrooms and some tomatoes. There isn't one plant food that doesn't contain protein. It's just varying degrees from like 1 to 30%. So your legumes and your nuts and seeds are higher, and there's certain nuts and seeds that are higher than others. So you could have, you know, a savory dish. You could have a nut loaf, for example, or you could just have a handful of nuts. You don't have to make fancy things. You can have hummus, which you could make, and it freezes beautifully, hummus. You can make cashew mayonnaise. You keep all of that stuff frozen. You take it out in ice cubes or little, you know, containers, Tupperwares, and you use it for breakfast. So, you know, if you're wanting, as I say, something savory, you could have a grilled mushrooms. You can have some baked beans, homemade baked beans. It's the easiest thing to make. We make a breakfast that's got our burger patties that are made with beetroots and brown rice and what else has it got in it? It's got beets, brown rice, chickpeas. It's got all kinds of things. We make little meatballs and tomato sauce made with chickpeas. There's so many little things that you can make, but you can also just eat the thing. You take chickpeas. It's a wonderful food to eat. You just put a bit of cumin in it, extra virgin olive oil, and we use our garlic and herb salt, but something that's got a bit of garlic. If you like a lot of garlic, put fresh garlic. I don't like it to overwhelm me. And I just like let that marinate for 5 minutes, and I can top it on top of lettuce leaves, and it is unbelievably delicious. Sometimes I just eat it out of the bowl, just the chickpeas like that. I'll have an avocado and eat chickpeas. Now, you could have avocado and chickpeas for breakfast. That's going to make you feel very full, but you can have other things with it, tomatoes, mushrooms, eggplants, all kinds of things. You can spend a lot of time making a gourmet meal, as I say, or you can make a really quick, easy thing to do.
Okay, we've got a lot of questions coming in, which I'm going to ask you, Marianne, after the break. Tehran has quadrupled its efforts to recruit Israelis to spy for Iran. In this afternoon's Home Run show, anchor Paul Slier is going to investigate this phenomenon. She's also traveled to southern India to find out more about the Jews of Kerala. And she chats with Casey Shevel about Jewish matchmaking. That's all this and more today on The Home Run from 3 to 6 p.m. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagi Stern.
Okay, let's zoom into some of the questions our listeners are asking. One listener says, please ask Marianne, what is a non-dairy, high-protein breakfast? What would you, if you had to put that together, what would it look like? Non-dairy, high-protein.
For me, I have a smoothie and I'll put almonds or sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds because, as I say, you've got the same amount of protein as you got in steak. So I would take, and it's winter, so you can take fresh or frozen. It's entirely up to you. But I'm so used to having my smoothie that I even have it in winter. So I would put in frozen strawberries or fresh strawberries, some pineapple, some mangoes. I put in some pea protein, and then I put my nuts and seeds. I take freshly extracted apple juice. It's actually cheaper to extract your own apple juice than it is to buy a liter in the supermarket, believe it or not. Think of it, it's like less than a packet of apples to make a liter, and that's cheaper than the liter. In anyway, so you put the apple juice in there, you blend it all up. That's a great way to do it, okay? Another way would be to say, as I say, have something like grilled tomatoes, grilled mushrooms. You can have a corn fritter. You could have a chickpea patty. You can have just chickpeas. You can put some chili pesto on that if you like chili. You could put red pepper mayonnaise, cashew mayonnaise. These are all the things that are so easy to make. And you just keep them in your fridge and you take them out. And although they, if you're making them from scratch yourself, then they're technically kosher because it's fruit and vegetables. You're not buying something processed. Mm-hmm. It's when you're buying the processed foods that you've got to make sure that the kosher seal is on there because you know you've made this in your own home. And everybody thinks it takes hours. I am the laziest cook in the world, okay? Absolutely the laziest. I like food, I like cooking, but if it's not knocked together in a pot or on my plate or in the oven in 15 minutes, I don't have that kind of time to spend hours in the kitchen. Just don't.
Well, most people... plant-based food, it's actually easier for everything to be done much quicker. When it comes to meats and lambs and you know, stews, all that kind of stuff takes a long time. With vegetables and legumes, it's much quicker.
So nuts, seeds, and legumes is what you would have in that meal. And but you can have that at every single meal, and you're not going to make your kidneys collapse, which is one of the side effects of taking in too much protein is kidney cancer and kidney failure and bladder issues. It's common. And it's out there, and nobody wants to acknowledge this because I don't know what it is. It's like we've got this addiction to meat. I grew up eating meat. I loved lamb chops. I'd eat all the fat on the lamb chops. I loved just anything, cheese and omelets with cheese and bully beef in it. I remember my husband introducing me to bully beef because he ate it in the army. And we'd make these omelets with bully beef and cheese in it. I think of the thing we used to eat. The two, my husband and I, when we got married, we ate an entire chicken. We'd eat a half a kilogram of minced beef. I'd make bolognese and we would eat it all. We were huge meat eaters. So it was never my goal. I had this natural inclination to not want to touch raw meat because it felt like a dead animal. And a chicken, when I looked at it, looked like an armless and headless baby. Armless, legless baby.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my word. That little chest and the little ribs. And I said to my husband, I can't cut that for me, but then I would go ahead.
Marianne, you're doing a great job at wanting us to all become vegan.
Okay, we've got another question, Marianne. Another listener says, what about the increasing numbers of vegans getting dementia from low omega-3 levels? Because in the blue zones, they consume cheese from goats and sheep's milk. Legumes and olive oil also plays a big role. So again, like I know a lot of vegans that are very unhealthy.
Because they just think they can live on. You have these like fully raw Christina type of people running around in their little bikinis on YouTube, influencers, and they are as skinny as this. And that's what they do. They live on hardly anything, and it's totally imbalanced. I know some of them. They'll live on soya noodles, just soya noodles, and then they'll live on just bananas, or they live on, it's completely imbalanced. You've got to have the balance. You've got to eat all the plant foods and in season. So you eat... You've got to eat. If you look at, there's a group of vegans that say absolutely no fats in the diet whatsoever, which is ridiculous. We need essential fatty acids. I take a flax oil supplement every day of my life, but I eat olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. I don't smother my food. If I take in too much olive oil, my pouch on my belly starts to grow. It really does. You can actually see it just starts there and then starts to spread to the thighs. But your body has this natural mechanism when you're taking in the right fats to actually... You get to a point in the day where if you look at something that's got fats in it, like nuts and seeds are full of fats and oils, avocados are full of fats and oils, so your olives are full of fats and oils, you're getting your essential fatty acids. Omega-3s are a little bit difficult, so I recommend you take a flax oil supplement. Make sure that you're getting one that's freshly and locally made or that it's been nitrogen flushed if it's in a capsule so that it displaces the oxygen.
What about that cold pressed flaxseed oil? Is that good to put into a salad?
If it's locally made, get it in small bottles because when you open it, the oxygen goes in and starts to degrade it straight away. Mm. Flax oil is a very unstable fat. It's got a lot of open... It's got a lot of open links, so it can react with other things. So you use it quickly. Small bottles, frequently, organically done or in a capsule that's been naturally.
I want to play devil's advocate over here. What about the people, let's say even a homeopath would say to you, stay away from nitrates, or the people that are saying that there's certain vegetables that have too high lectins in them, and if you have too much too much kale and too much spinach is actually dangerous for you.
I would say to them, show me a community that eats spinach, high levels of legumes and spinach that's in bad health, because the communities that eat those things are the ones with the longest living, healthiest people. They got the most centenarians that are healthy and fully functional. You may get a 102-year-old woman who's still driving a Cadillac in Loma Linda, and she's involved in seven feeding schemes. And then for exercise, she's got her stationary bike. You actually watch it. You can go onto the TED Talks and watch the Blue Zones. The 19-minute one is the best one to watch. Here she's on her cycle, and then she jumps into a Cadillac. She's 102 or something. And she's like fully functional. And she's eating spinach and legumes and all these things that we're supposed to. If you look at the actual science and you look at the real live communities, it's clear how we should be eating. But we are addicted to things and we don't like spinach and we don't like green things. So we'll find any excuse to not eat it, really. If you're going to live on spinach, you're going to be in trouble. If you're only eating beans, you're going to be in trouble. You need a variety. So you need lots of fresh raw stuff. Get the raw before you're cooked for breakfast, lunch and supper. If you feel like eating spinach, I don't eat it even once a week. I eat it every now and again. I make a really nice creamy spinach pie with mushrooms and it's got a short crust gluten-free pastry that we make. We even make our own vegan butter that tastes like butter, looks like butter, and acts like butter. You can bake with it. You can do whatever. It's coconut and olive oil and a bit of turmeric and a little bit of apple cider vinegar to ferment it. It's amazing. So you can do all of this stuff. And at the end of the day, whether it's got lignans in it, whether it's got oxalates in it, you're not living on spinach. If you have a bit of oxalic acid in your spinach and you're eating it once a day or once a week or once a month, it's not a big deal. We get obsessive. Spinach is good for you. I used to drink a lot of spinach and carrot juice as a kid.
Okay, Marianne, you might have like a handful of almonds. Someone else would have like a whole cupful. That's lots of oxalates and it's not good for you.
Okay, guys, let's just have a pause over there. We're speaking to Marianne Shearer, and this is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kazilski and Faggy Stern.
Okay, we only have about 3 minutes left. To sum up what I'm hearing you say, Marianne, is that we need to have as much whole food, plant-based diet. Start with it, breakfast, lunch, and supper before you climb into anything else. And do everything in moderation. Like having too much kale, too much spinach, too much almonds, too much things is going to put you out of whacko. Yeah. Try to give yourself a variety.
Listen to your body. Yes. Listen to your body. Your body tells you what to do. If you're thirsty, drink water. If you're hungry, eat food. Eat as much whole food, plant food as you possibly can. At the end of the day, it's really easy living like this. We're in winter right now, and one of the most favorite recipes to make is cabbage, avocados, chickpeas with extra virgin olive oil, a bit of seasoning salt, and you can add anything else to that, tomatoes, red peppers, but that's the base, chickpeas, cabbage, and avocado. Cabbage is considered the most anti-cancer food, and I used to hate cabbage until I ate that salad. And I wasn't particularly partial to chickpeas either. And it's delicious. You've got the crunchiness of the cabbage, the creaminess of the avo, and then this texture of the chickpeas. You can have that for breakfast if you want, and you'll be getting protein. Excuses to not get healthy because we have attachments. And it's just start adding more plant food to your existing diet and as much of it raw as possible as you can manage.
There you go. Well, then I'm going to eat cabbage, avocado, and chickpeas now for lunch.
I think I'm going shopping. Never mind what we're going to eat.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Marianne.
It's a pleasure.
For your time. It's really a pleasure. And hopefully everybody can just be inspired a little bit more to try and stick to the foods that God gave us in all its colors and it's all its beauty. And to know that anything that's readily available right now, because it's winter, is the stuff that our body needs. Don't go start looking for something that doesn't grow in winter and try eat it, because obviously then it's coming from somewhere else, injected to get to you. Stick with the main things. Thank you so much. This is the Healthy You Wealthy Show, and wishing you a wonderful, healthy week ahead.